Howdy do, buggeroos. Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. Today is Monday. Don't ask me how, but somehow it is the last day of August. August 31st. This is 2020. I'm your host, Kelly Gamont. With me today, I have John Martellaro. Hi, John.
Wow, that was a long march.
It really was. And
good morning, by the way.
It's entirely possible that it's still March and I just haven't heard.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it could go either way at this point. Also with me today, I have Jeff Butts. Hi, Jeff.
Hello. How's everyone doing this afternoon?
I wish I knew.
And I say afternoon because, you know, while it may be morning for you in the real world, it is already 41 minutes into the afternoon.
Yeah, I'd prefer if this weren't the real world, and yet here we are. John, I'd like to start with an article that you dug into on Friday, I believe, about Apple Silicon and the PowerPC to Intel transition and how that gives us a little bit of insight into what might be happening with this new transition.
Yeah, I found a very interesting article at Apple Insider by William Gallagher. And what he did was he went back and he looked at the transition from PowerPC to Intel in 2005. Mm-hmm. He looked at the language that Steve Jobs used. He talked about how Apple wants to be careful they don't have an Osborne effect kick in. That's when you announce a new product that doesn't exist yet and the sales of your existing product die off. Osborne Computer made that mistake.
Oh, yeah.
Years and years and years ago, and they went out of business as a result. So they have to have a very careful structure in their language to make sure that we know that there's still Intel Macs coming.
Mm-hmm.
And even though Tim Cook says they're excited about them, Arthur Gallagher points out that they probably won't ever feature anybody new radical design or capabilities because anything that's radically exciting and new will be reserved for the Apple Silicon Macs.
Oh, sure.
And then he looks at the history of the timeline. He looks at Apple's announcement of the 2013 Mac Pro. It took about 190 days for it to ship after the announcement at WWDC.
Mm-hmm.
And then he looked at the iMac Pro in a similar situation. And then he looked at the Mac Pro, the 2019 Mac Pro. And based on the time it took Apple and the host of new products Apple has in its admittedly large but not infinite resources, suggesting that we won't see ARM-based Macs until December. Now, they might be announced in October, but Apple has a long history of announcing next-generation Macs very early, like at WWDC, and it's months and months before they ship.
Yeah.
So that's what he did, and he had a very interesting video from Steve Jobs from 2005.
290 days, John, that would actually...
190.
190. Oh, 190. Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you said 290. Okay. Yeah, that I think that fits in with the timeline I'm reading about today.
Yeah, and Jeff, just to skip ahead a little bit, I guess, to that, you're seeing rumbles about... the first machines that are going to come with an Apple Silicon chip in them.
Right, right. And this is in the China Times, and I wrote about it this morning. It looks like the 12-inch MacBook is going to be reborn as an Apple Silicon MacBook. It's using the Tonga A14X chip, and it's going to weigh less than 2 pounds, probably, with 15 to 20 hour battery life.
I'm waiting for John to swoop in and be unhappy about this.
The reason there was a pause there was because I was trying to remember how much my 2015 MacBook weighs. And it seems to me like it was something on the order of 900 grams, which is about 2 pounds, I think.
Okay.
So that sounds about right. Although I thought it was lighter. I think I'm wrong.
Well, this
right at 900 grams.
This report says less than a kilogram. And so
that syncs up really nice. Yeah. So I believe that. What I don't believe, the 12-inch screen. Now, I think it's just me. I'm projecting here quite a bit, but I'm going to project and lament that Apple rolls out a single USB-C port 12-inch MacBook for $799. That, I think that would be a difficult product to push because the screen is small.
Right. It's only a 12-inch screen. Now, the reports do say that it will be USB-C, but just about everything Apple's been putting out in the Mac world has been USB-C.
And regrettably, because it's a low-end $799 computer, Apple will be obstinate and only put one USB-C port on it instead of two, which is reserved for the MacBook Air, which isn't enough for the Air.
Yeah.
I mean, all these MacBooks should have four ports. I've written an article about this. I'm just off on my bandwagon here. So, but anyway, I find it hard to believe that Apple would resurrect the MacBook, but for sake of economy, what's their thinking here?
Well, and I mean, this is just right now, it's just the status of a rumor. And, you know, back in March, Ming-Chi Kuo, if I'm not mangling that too bad, said that he thought the first ARM-based Mac would be the 13.3-inch MacBook Pro. Mm-hmm.
I still believe that.
And he has not commented on the 12-inch rumor. There was a leak on Twitter about the ARM MacBook at $799, mm-hmm. MacBook Pro 13-inch at $1099.
Okay.
Circa. He said he didn't know about the exact price.
Yeah.
And what his credentials are, I'm not entirely sure just yet. I've been researching him to find out just how reliable any of his previous leaks have been.
Generally, with Ming-Chi Kuo, there tends to be a kernel of truth in it somewhere, and it's the part where to conjecture that comes apart.
Yeah, no, I'm not talking about Ming-Chi. I'm talking about Komaya. Twitter leak about the MacBook at $799.
Now, I feel like, I mean, not that this has ever stopped Apple before, but I feel like resurrecting the 12-inch MacBook would just make for a really confusing product line. And I mean, it's not like we've never seen this before from Apple. Because the 12-inch, like, I know John, while a fan of the keyboard, was not a fan of the acreage on that screen.
Right.
And I know that, the Air has become a really, like, high-powered doesn't seem like quite the right word, but it's a far more capable machine now than it was when it started, because the MacBook Air started, you know, everybody remembers Steve Jobs walked out on stage at Macworld and pulled an entire laptop out of one of those inner office envelopes, and it was amazing. But the whole point of it was to sort of be the satellite machine to whatever actual computer you were using. And it was just meant to be like the augmented, you know, like you take it with you to take notes or whatever.
But remember, more to the point, remember in 2014, we thought the MacBook Air was on its way out. Mm-hmm. Apple came out with this glorious 2015 MacBook. Mm-hmm. It looked like the Air was a dead product. Uh-huh. But the customers didn't listen. The customers voted with their dollars.
Right.
And the MacBook Air was incredibly popular, and Apple mm-hmm. ended up updating the MacBook Air considerably while letting the MacBook die. So,
yeah, and it's a serious machine now.
So that when you bring up the idea of a MacBook Air, you would think that MacBook Air would be a strong candidate because of its size and battery capacity and good screen. Yeah,
because the whole point of it,
and two ports to be a prime candidate for the first ARM.
Precisely. Mac. That's why I'm sort of like, as a spectator, like, we know, I mean, it's not like I'm right about much stuff anyway, and I run a home for Crackpot Theories, but that's part of why I don't like the 12 inch for this. And what I really like is just the MacBook Air for this, because this is the play, because the MacBook Air, the whole point of it was the battery life's all day long, and you know, you put it on the internet, it does everything you need to do, it's super lightweight, so carrying it around isn't a big deal. And that was like its whole purpose. Like, it's higher purpose. You know, isn't that what Steve Martin says in The Jerk? I found my special purpose. Like, the laptops, the MacBook Air's special purpose is to be that unbelievably portable computer. Back when we went places with computers in tow, that mattered a lot more. But that said, it feels like that would be the place for Apple Silicon to really shine. Look how unbelievable the battery life is on this. We've mentioned battery life on the show regularly because I don't think Apple gets the credit they deserve for that. And So think what they could do if they're allowed everything end to end, not just the hardware, but like the fundamental pieces of the hardware, the processor, the graphics card, the motherboard, the battery, and they get to build all the operating system for that. So Big Sur on an Apple Silicon MacBook Air is going to be a fundamental shift in computing experience, whether it's efficiency, battery life, heat dissipation and management, like however they're going to manage that, I don't know. Mm-hmm. But that feels like the spotlight should shine on the MacBook Air for that. And I don't know that bringing back the MacBook or, you know, revving the 12-inch to be that machine, that doesn't feel like the right move to me.
That said, Jeff, this is the second time I've seen a reference to a leak on a 12-inch MacBook ARM.
Right.
Second time. And I have not seen any leaks on a MacBook Air with ARM.
No, I haven't. And you know, my biggest thing is that Apple needs to have at least one product in the under $1,000 market.
Yes.
And they have that just barely with the Air.
Yes.
You know, at starting at $999, we can say that that's under $1,000 until we add in taxes. The benefit of having a $799 12-inch MacBook would be that they would now have one that's under $1,000.
Well under, yeah.
Everything.
With the education discount, a $799 MacBook would be running around $730.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Maybe this, we were hearing about this 12-inch MacBook is a way for Apple to get back into the education world with a product that's well less than $1,000, but
well,
a more
right
than a quality
now,
notebook from Dell or HP.
Right now, the Air is $899 in education.
That's not bad.
Which, no, it's not bad at all. In my world, that is still under $1,000 with tax.
Mm-hmm.
Well, even that's a stretch. My wife's an instructor in college, and she says that the students have completely switched over to $200 or $300 computers because no one in her college these days can afford, you know, even $800 for a quality notebook.
Right. Mm-hmm.
When she first started in 2014, she saw a lot of Macs, but they kind of dribbled away as the economy and situation got worse. And so now the thing is a $250 Hewlett Packard or Dell notebook.
Yeah.
Or a Chromebook.
Even a Chromebook would do most of what you need if it's just take notes in class and maybe a basic assignment in a, you know, in some sort of document format or something, and all that stuff's online, then
that
makes sense.
She reports that $250 or $300 is the sweet spot.
Yeah.
Now, see,
that checks out.
When I stopped teaching in 2013, I was seeing an increase of iPads and iPad minis instead of notebook computers. Has she seen any of that, John?
Well, she teaches computer science, Python, Java.
Irrelevant.
You need a first-class computer or a Unix machine or a Windows equivalent to run Python or Java.
Yeah, this was in my comp classes, my English classes.
Yeah, you can get away with it there.
Right. Okay. Well.
Yeah. Well, I wonder if this would be a good way to stake out that real estate that Apple hasn't had, you know, a good competitor in for a while, you know, to get down kind of was the eMac, you know, that white one that was less expensive and that they did absolutely with a budget price, you know, budget price with an eye toward education, that kind of stuff. So I wonder if there's something to that sort of happening with the mobile line.
It could be, but I mean, then again, Kelly, if students are favoring $200 to $300 computers, are they really going to go for something that's more than twice that?
There will be segments. They won't be uniform.
Yeah. Right. I mean,
there'll be school districts that are in pretty good shape, and students will be able to afford a $700 MacBook. And then there's the vast majority of the school districts where the students are using Chromebooks.
Right. And I mean, I suppose that's how it's always been and how it always will be.
Yeah.
But I think there may be something to just be having the ability to make that decision. Like if you're maybe looking at a $500 or $600 computer to take to school, then maybe this comes in kind of in that neighborhood. I mean, you know, if Apple's rolling out silicon to everything, then like they don't have to front load like recovering the cost of R&D on that chip or anything like that. So maybe, you know, now that they're a $2 trillion company, maybe Apple's looking to kind of loss lead the silicon transition. And this is how they're going to do it is this is a $500 machine, you know, like the in the old days, the Mac Mini. The whole point of the Mac Mini was that it was a very inexpensive Mac and you already have a keyboard and a monitor and a mouse at home. So you just swap out that giant beige tower for this little slab of metal and your life is better. And you don't have to upgrade any of that other stuff. So maybe this is the same sort of thing where Apple's going to aggressively gun for that sort of mid-range laptop market, you know, slightly more than a Chromebook, slightly less than a 16-inch MacBook Pro, and put something there where that everybody will want to carry around and that's going to be so thin and so light and have such great battery life that they can.
Yeah.
You know, when we can leave the house and carry things around again.
Right. It would be a lot less than the 16-inch and still a fair bit less than the 13.3-inch.
Absolutely. So they say, you know, the MacBook Pro starts at whatever, and it does, but you're not going to get the latest iteration of Intel chip if you do that. So that's what I was looking for, is that piece of it.
There it is. Yeah, the entry level is a 1.4 gigahertz quad core. Eighth generation.
Okay.
With an i5.
Yeah.
But so you can get it up to the 2.0 gigahertz quad core 10th generation.
Right. But to do that, it's now a $2,000 laptop. Ask me how I know.
Correct.
So that's what I'm looking at is like, even if you just sort of want to get a solid upgrade laptop, like you're looking at $1,800 already, and if you want to upgrade in a significant fashion to make a difference, you're looking at $2,000. So a $2,000 machine, and say this comes in well under $1,000, is going to be super appealing. And I think the price tag is the thing that, you know, Apple is sort of hoping will make people overlook, but this is a whole new processor and Apple makes it and isn't that weird and did they ever do this before? And any sort of trepidation that anybody has about that machine is going to be assuaged by the price point, I think, is where we're headed with this ultimately, is that what Apple's hoping is that that's what happens.
Right.
What do you mean I can get a laptop for $600? Sold, you know, like we've seen far and away that laptops are where it's at right now. So it's entirely possible that's a thing that they might do. Yeah. And what we're going to do right now is go ahead and leave it there for today. It's possible we will have further silicon speculation to do on another show. It might even be tomorrow. You never know. I'd like to thank both of you for being here today. Jeff Butts, thanks so much for coming by.
No, thanks for having me.
And John Martellaro, as always, thanks so much for being here.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
I am your host, Kelly Gamon. I will talk to all of you tomorrow. In the meantime, be excellent to each other. Wakanda forever.